Hi, I'm Clemmy Telford and it's time to get open and get honest. Each week, I interview a guest about a topic that we, as a society, often shy away from. From sex lives to salaries, life and death, religion and real bodies, no subject is off the table. Welcome to Honestly, the podcast. What does confidence look like to you? I bet if I asked 100 people this question, no answer would be the same. In this episode, I get stuck into the subject of owning your image and learning to show the world the most authentic version of yourself. Sounds cheesy, but I love this one. I've also got a lot of love for the partners of this podcast, F&F Clothing, who are all about making you look and feel great in whatever you wear. I can't believe how passionate they are about designing fashionable, affordable clothing that doesn't cost the earth. Not only that, next time you're having a wardrobe clear out, you can take your stuff into one of 87 Tesco stores. Getting involved in their take-back scheme means none of your unwanted clothes or shoes need end up in landfill. Excellent stuff. Hi, and welcome to Honestly Podcast. I'm Clemmy Telford, and I'm here to do one of my favourite things. No, not running myself a really decadent bath only to get bored after 7 minutes. Have a properly frank, open chat about tricky, sticky, and often not spoken about subjects. Today I'm joined by a woman with many talents, a trans activist, author and writer, Marie Claire Future Shaper. She is founder of Nail Transphobia, a pop-up nail salon that aims to raise visibility of trans issues. She is Charlie Craggs. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, Clemmy.
I've just informed Charlie that she is on Wikipedia. I mean, what? I think that's really big.
I mean,
I don't really know what it means.
I don't know what it means either. I didn't have to sleep with anyone or pay anyone to do that either.
No, I
which
think
is
it's
sick.
Cool. It just means you're really grown up. It lists all the things you've been featured in and written in.
Okay.
Yeah. Doesn't say your age though. How old are you?
You don't want to know. No one needs to know. No, I'm joking. I'm 25.
But yeah, I mean, that's... I thought you were going to say like you're 17.
I wish. I should say I'm 17, maybe. Maybe
you
I'd
want
get
to be
more
17?
Work. Yeah. I mean, I never got to be 17 as Charlie. So I'm like, I feel like it's a trans girl thing. Like, we all want to be younger because we never.
Oh, you want to go and do that bit?
We never got to be a teenager. I never got to be a child. Like,
but, I mean,
I never got Barbies for Christmas. I never got to go to prom as a girl. Like, I want to be 17.
Okay, fair enough. I get that. I get that. Although being a teenage girl is.
Oh, God, yeah.
I like to start with a quick fire round to get us all a little bit more comfortable, and this is all about being honest. So,
let's do it.
A great meal or great sex?
A great meal. I don't know why I paused, because it's like 100% a great meal.
People are really one or the other.
Yeah, no, a great meal.
Exactly. Fame or fortune?
Fame.
Leave or remain?
Obviously remain.
Yeah, people panic.
Has anyone said... Yeah, I was like, oh, I don't want to say the wrong word. Has anyone said leave?
Because you suddenly like have this white noise in your head. You're like, which is the one?
Yeah.
Social media, good or bad?
Good.
Reincarnation, probable or not a chance?
I think probable.
What star sign are you?
Pisces.
Me too.
Are you actually?
Yeah,
yes! Oh my God, so many creative people are Pisces.
Oh, but don't you think it's a blessing and a curse?
No, I love it.
Do you?
I think it's the best star sign ever.
Do you? I honestly think worried that it's the worst. It's so emotional.
It is emotional.
All the feelings, all the time.
I've cried already once, and it's not even like lunchtime. It's
not even like, I'm going to ask you that in a minute. Have you ever committed a crime?
I mean, is being sexy a crime? JK, no, I'm a Christian, I'm a good girl.
Do you believe in God?
Yes. Oh, funny, yeah, I believe in God.
This comes from an ongoing argument with my husband. Have you ever peed in a swimming pool?
I mean, who hasn't?
Let's well, be, this is it. This
like,
is...
probably when I was a child. I haven't actually been in a swimming pool since I was like 11 because of trans stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't feel comfortable being in a pool. But like, I probably did.
Oh, definitely an 11-year-old child.
Yeah.
Well, he's under the illusion that nobody does.
And it's always those ones who do it the most as well. It's like people say they don't pick their nose. It's like, well, you haven't.
Then we spot you.
Yeah, literally. Come on.
When did you last cry?
Like I said this morning.
Oh, yeah. It's good to get it out. When did you last weigh yourself?
Weigh?
Yeah.
Fuck that. I'm sorry. Who wants to weigh their self?
Exactly.
I don't have any desire to know how much I weigh. Weigh means nothing. Like,
no.
I actually go by like dress size. And not even that, I just go by if I look in the mirror and I'm like, I feel comfortable with this size. Like, I don't really, I've never ever weighed myself once.
Really?
Never.
So you have no idea what your adult weight?
I don't care. I probably weigh a lot more than I think because of, I'm quite big bone. And I'm also quite, I'm probably quite, yeah.
I think that's really amazingly liberating. When or where are you happiest?
I don't actually know. Wow.
Go with your what
when food is in my mouth, like when something really delicious is in my mouth, that's when I'm happiest. With someone I love as well at the same
good
time.
Good combo.
Yeah.
Ideally, sun shining. And what can't you live without?
Foundation. Really shallow.
No, it's fine. We're all secretly thinking our phones, but we can't say that.
Oh, I would definitely pick foundation over a phone. 100%.
No way.
Yeah, for sure.
Wow.
I wouldn't have anything to put on social media if I didn't have foundation. Yeah, so it'd be a pointless. I wouldn't have any boys to call if I didn't have foundation.
And what is your motto if you have one?
I always say break the rules. I like that one. Like, don't think about rules. Like, don't think about what's right or wrong or like what you've been told. Fuck what you've been told. Do what you want. It's your life. And also the obvious one is like not regretting things. Like, make mistakes rather than don't make
better to regret the things you've done than the things you haven't done.
I like, that's my biggest fear, and I think again I keep linking it back to trans, but that kind of comes from that. Is like, I would hate to have reached like a really old age and be like, why didn't I do this? And not just about trans stuff, but even like dating or a job or
anything,
eating that burger. Like, what, I don't want to get old and be on my deathbed and be like, damn, why didn't I do that?
Anyway, let's move on to this section I like to call Big Topic, and your big topic is gender. For context, Charlie and I spoke on a panel together a couple of weeks ago, and I was so in awe of her story. I found it very annoying when they then kept on turning the mic onto me and I had to share mine. So this is my perfect excuse to listen to more of yours. So tell me about learning to identify as female and the beginning.
I don't even think it was a learning to identify as female. I just always did identify as female as soon as I could identify, really. So I was
people
always shocked when they hear how young we are, but I was like 4 when I was verbalizing it to my mum. So it wasn't even just like I'm making this up. My mum will come in and tell you, Charlie was telling me when she was 4, oh, I wish I was a girl. And it was very harmless, very like, obviously a 4-year-old doesn't know transgender's a thing.
No
obviously a 4-year-old doesn't understand the construct of gender or that anything. I just said I wish I was a girl because I did. I felt like my girlfriend because all my friends were girls. They got to dress up like girls and play with girl toys. I think kids can just be whatever they want when they're young, but it was more so when I went to school. So that's we often are like 3, 4 because you go to nursery that age, and that's when you start becoming gendered by society. So you get told to use this bathroom and told to wear this uniform, and that's when and told not to play with these toys, and like seeing all the other boys be like, ha, why'd you play with the girls? Like, so that's when you start having gendered expectations thrust upon you. So that's, I guess, when I started becoming uncomfortable with those because I was like, this is not me. Like, I want to play with the girls and I want to play with the dolls and I want to wear a skirt. I don't want to wear trousers and play football with the boys.
When did you start to transition as in?
So I guess it's like I said, I didn't know what the word transgender meant. My mum didn't. This is back in the 90s in Labrick Grove on a council estate. Like, it wasn't part of our cultural conversation about trans issues. So she just assumed, oh, Charlie's just a little gay boy.
Yeah.
So she let me be feminine and would have been totally fine with me being gay, which I think is really lovely as well because she's Catholic. I'm Irish, working class Catholic. Yeah. So even that was like, I felt very lucky. But it got to the point, so no one knew what trans was. And it was when I saw Nadia on Big Brother in like 2005 or 2006.
Early.
I was really like 11 or something.
That was a light bulb moment for you.
Yeah, because it's the first time I saw someone like me. I'd never seen a transgender person before. Around that time, that's when I was going through puberty at like 11, 12, and that's when I started becoming more urgent in the fact that I need to transition, because as a child, children are all androgynous. A little boy can grow their hair and literally you would think it's a girl, even if they're a masculine little boy. Whereas when you hit puberty and you start getting taller than your girlfriend, like I'm starting to get taller, I'm getting broader, I'm getting hairier, I'm getting a deeper voice, there's a sense of urgency that comes with that. And I was like, oh crap, like I'm not just okay with being feminine, I am female.
And so what happened from there once puberty hit? Did you...
Well, back then, it still wasn't talked about trans stuff, and it was very much more taboo. So, like, even though it was talked about on Big Brother, then try and name another famous person after Nadia for the next 10 years until 2015. Like, you just can't. Like, there was no one talking about it in the media. What was talked about, it was very Jerry Springer, that's a man. Yeah. I didn't want to be that. I was like, my life was hard enough. Like I said, I was being bullied, being called a girl from the age of, like, 7 onwards. Batty boy, chitchy man, gay, all these names, beaten up. I don't need that, like, to transitioning for it to become harder. So I didn't want to be trans, and it got to the point where I was just like so suicidal, and it kind of coincided with trans stuff being talked about more, that I was like, I know this is me and I need to do this or I'm going to kill myself.
That is then that you're fully presenting female. Have you taken hormones? Do you?
Yes.
So, where are you on that journey?
it's a more of an evolution. So really, I knew I was trans when I was like I said, a very early teenager. I started vocalizing it more, saying like, oh, I think I'm trans at about 18. But again, it still wasn't part of the cultural conversation. I really, really, really tried my absolute hardest to not be trans. I tried to work out more and stop listening to the music I like and be more manly. But it was killing me because I'm taking away all the parts of my identity that make me. And I was just like an empty vessel, and I was just like dead to the world. Yes, I guess I told my mum, I thought I need to transition. I'm going to kill myself if I don't transition at 21. And that's when I went to my GP. But then, even then, like, it's not a clear, oh, take hormones. It's like, it took me 2 years to get onto hormones. Like, the end.
Because
people think that.
Do they need you? Why can't. Why?
It's because it's bullshit. People try and make this thing about, like, oh, they just want you to be short. No, it's not about the real life experience. There's backlogs of waiting, like, because there's not much funding in the. Obviously, right. The NHS is struggling, period. I'm not complaining.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's so much backlog of patients. There's not been much money or resources put into the trans healthcare department since it was set up in, like, I think the 80s or 70s or something crazy like that. Like, it's really relying on, there's like 5 hospitals in the UK that see us, the whole
really?
UK. How many of us are there? Like, so we have to wait 2 years for an appointment pretty much, just to get seen, to talk about transitioning, not even to get put onto hormones. People think that the GPs are just handing them out to kids and stuff. It's not the way. Like, you just have to wait for like 2 years, and then you get seen, and then you got to go through counseling, and then if you pass the test, which is kind of bullshit.
And all the while, it can be a ticking time. Well, ticking time bomb for your mental health, for your body, if you're going through puberty or beyond.
The suicide rates of trans people are ridiculous. Like, there's a Stonewall statistic. Stonewall, the LGBT charity, put a statistic that says, I think it's 48% of trans people have not only been suicidal, attempted suicide. Like, tried and failed to kill themselves. I've been suicidal. I've been so suicidal. Yeah, so I can't imagine someone being... 48% of my community having tried, like, they terrifying. Should be dead. Like, really, it's madness.
But I had no comprehension. I assumed that was all because of prejudice or lack of understanding, but I hadn't understood that once you've come out to your family or loved ones that you're ready to make that change, that actually it's just
it's like a prison sentence. Yeah, that really is what it is. It's literally prison
because you build
sentence.
Up to that moment, and then there's nothing you can do.
And finance and resources and that sort of thing can make it so much easier because you can just go private. But a lot of people don't have that luxury. Like, I said, I'm a council state girl. I don't have the luxury of like doing a Caitlyn Jenner and turning my transition in a day. Like, I literally had to wait. Like, so even though I knew I was trans, I didn't start living as female straight away because it was too dangerous. I was having glass bottles thrown at me, bricks thrown at me where I live, eggs thrown at me, insults thrown at me, punches thrown at me. I couldn't do it straight away. So I had to, for my own safety, not transition straight away, which is really sad. Like this kind of goes back to the urgency about age, because I'm like, I want to be in my 20s and be trans. I want to live
have
my
as much
life.
Of your life.
I literally stayed in my bed, like in my house, because I was too miserable to go out for like a long part of my late teens and early 20s.
So you're going to have to live your youth for a bit longer, aren't you?
Yeah, honey, that's why this skirt is so short.
Charlie and I both love fashion. In fact, I shamelessly scroll her Instagram feed, wishing I could learn to be as fabulous as she is. Seriously, have you seen that girl sachet? I have never knowingly sacheted anywhere. That aside, quick high five to our sponsors, F&F Clothing, for making clothes that range from size 6 to 22, and who are also pledging to be more sustainable across menswear, womenswear and kidswear. Loving your work, guys. So, I was going to ask about funding. So a lot of it would have to be self-funded. I've from documentaries I've watched and things I've read, people self-medicating as well, which is really scary, because if you can't get hold of the drugs...
You can have heart attacks and strokes, because hormones are really, really important. Yeah. And taking the wrong thing, and also you don't even know what you're taking sometimes, because people on the internet are selling you things. You could be putting anything into your body. But that's how desperate people are.
Yeah, exactly. It's worth the risk. Yeah.
I went private in the end because I couldn't wait to get onto hormones, just for hormones. But also, obviously, people don't factor in how much else transition involves. So the NHS pay for downstairs if you want it. Not everyone wants it. Not everyone wants to go over the NHS. I don't personally, not in a rude way to it. It's just I don't want to go over the NHS. So I will be doing that privately myself. So I have to do that. Boobs. I have to do any laser. I've spent thousands and thousands and thousands just clearing the decks to begin transition on laser, because I was very naturally hairy. I was like the first boy in my year to shave like that. It's like super, super hairy. So like lasers cost me thousands. The boobs will cost thousands. Facial feminization surgery set. It sounds cosmetic, but it's really not. Like, the reason I was getting so much abuse in my transition is because I looked so manly. Like, I had a really big jaw. I had a really receded hairline. So I needed to do things to make my face more female passing, so that I could just exist in the world and not be attacked every single day, because that's literally what it's like. And I'm from London. I'm even from like the worst place in the world to be trans. So like, I had to pay 16 grand on that, and I feel like there's even more stuff. There's things like fillers, more feminine things, like feminizing things, which could be like seen as cosmetics. But just to like, it's so expensive to transition. Like,
and
honestly,
also, hormones. As you say, you're not going to go for the budget version, are you?
There's no cheap.
Do people
version.
Go abroad for that kind of thing?
Yeah, but even abroad, it's expensive. It's I've looked around. I had a consultations with people abroad, and it's really not much cheaper. It's still thousands and thousands and thousands. Like. It's really expensive to transition. I think people don't realise that. So it's really not like a overnight thing. It's much more of an evolution.
No, yeah, and getting the money, you know.
Yeah.
But if you were given £1 million tomorrow, would you do it all in one go? Or do you think you need
to,
would you?
Yes, I would do it all. I'd pay for all my friends' ones as well. I'd start a charity where I'm just giving out like funds to other girls and boys, like, and people, like...
You do it all,
I'd love to, yeah. No one would choose this. Like, do you really think someone would say, yeah, I really feel like my family rejected me, never finding love, probably not going to be able to find a job, but made me have to get into sex work to fund things, like, just being assaulted in the street every day verbally, physically. Yeah, like, do you think people sign up for that? Like, let me just transition because it's going to be a kiki. Let me transition, it's going to be really fun. No, like, you do it because there's no other choice. Yeah. I would have loved to have been a gay man or a straight. I would even love to that even more. But do you know what I mean? Like, I would have loved that. Like, so of course not. Like, no one chooses this. This
That's
is not
the
a
thing.
Choice.
As a parent, you know, what do you want for your kids? I couldn't care less what they are. But as a parent, you wouldn't wish the journey that you've had to go on any of them. So, yeah, if they were trans, that's absolutely fine. But you'd lose sleep because it's
that's
a hard journey.
That's what my mum said, yeah. So my mum was totally fine with it, but she said, I'm just so worried about you. Your life is going to be so hard. I got to the point in my life where I was like, I just don't give a shit what anyone thinks. Mm. And I got at that stage very young. I was probably like 12-13 when I just was like, I don't even care, like, I'm just gonna be me. So like,
incredibly empowered, really.
Yeah, it's horrible that I was made to be that way,
be but that
it's
adult
really yeah empowering to just not care what anyone thinks. So when I transitioned, I didn't even tell people for a long time. I didn't even, because I didn't feel the need to. I was like, I don't have to tell anyone, I don't give a shit who accepts me, who doesn't. Like, oh, so I literally was just like coming out, and then I did a Facebook post like 3 months into it, and I was like, oh, by the way guys, probably just say this, I am transitioning, like, just in case you think I look a bit different. Yeah, and like, I was like, I didn't say this, but I was like, I don't care who accepts me, who doesn't. But thankfully, no one to my knowledge has really in my family or friends not accepted me. I didn't anticipate how hard existing as trans in the public would be. And like I said, this is coming from someone who was constantly facing really, really bad homophobia and femphobia pre-transition. So it's not like I was oblivious to the fact that people get called names and assaulted. Like, it was my reality for a long time. But the amount it went up, like, you would not believe, because it's so much more... Gay as an identity is not as visible as trans.
Yes.
So, like, you can hide the fact that you're gay. You can deny it. You can say, no, I like girls.
Yeah.
But, like, no one can say otherwise. Yeah. Like, you can dress a different way. Being trans is so... Especially, like I said, pre-surgery with my face that was much more trans-looking or male-looking. Yeah, I was just, like, visibly trans. I was literally a walking target for people to laugh at, point at, take photos of, make comments about, attack.
I'm so sorry. And as you say, that's in London. And also, I can't believe I haven't talked about it yet. Talk to me about nails.
Yeah. Well, I don't actually care about nails too much. So that's probably why. Like, so I much more care about conversation, which is like what we're doing now. Really, when I'm doing nail transphobia and I'm doing someone's nails, this is the sort of conversation I'm having.
To backtrack,
really,
nail transphobia is a pop-up nail bar, nail shop, and you invite people to have their nails done, and everybody likes having their nails done, especially for free. And that enables people to have a very intimate interaction with a trans person, which more than likely they never have done before.
That's why I did it, because most people just haven't met one before, and that's where kind of the misunderstanding comes from, where transphobia comes from, because it comes from misunderstanding. And I just realised, if people just sit down with a trans person and essentially like holding hands with a trans person while I'm doing your nails, it's really hard not to feel someone's humanity and feel that really there's not much to understand. Like, when we're having a chat, and you're, like, if we just had nails in front of us now, this is pretty much a transphobia session. Yeah. Like, what we've talked about, like, people can ask me literally anything, even if it's the wrong thing, it's the perfect time for me to teach them that it's the wrong thing. And I want to reach people who have literally never met a trans person. I want to meet that straight boy at that university who's never met a trans girl. I want to meet that old lady at the museum who doesn't even know what trans means.
Yeah.
I want to meet, like, baby. I, like, do you know what I mean? Like, I just want to meet everyone. Like, and that's what it's about, is being inclusive, because I want everyone to be involved in that conversation. Yeah. We all need to be talking about this.
And then they hopefully go away and become your advocates. Don't they? You know, everyone
it's
goes,
allies,
oh, look at your nails. Well, actually.
Exactly. And ripples make waves. So, like, you have that one conversation with that one person, but you know that you've, like, set that seed in them now, where they're hopefully going to be an ally to some degree. And you hope that, like, say they saw something wrong, whether it's in real life or on the internet or on Facebook or whatever, that they would say something maybe, or they would at least think that that's bad, or like, these people hopefully going to raise their kids to be decent people, so that in the next generation aren't going to be as this one. It's like, that's what it's about for me, is ripples making waves.
It's such
waves.
An amazing thing. And it's one of those things that is kind of beautifully simple, isn't it? And that, as you say, that moment of holding hands. And
we just need that physical interaction. I think as a society, we've kind of lost that.
Yeah, there's some statistics, isn't it, that's going to become like the ultimate luxury, physical contact.
Yeah.
Which breaks my heart a bit.
Yeah.
I have watched all of the Making of Me series on Channel 4. Have you watched it?
No, I haven't.
What?
What is it?
Are you serious?
No, sorry, I actually haven't. What is it?
It's absolutely amazing. It's filmed over 3 years following loads of people going through transition.
Oh, no, I haven't. Oh. I don't, when I kind of zone out from that. Because it's not really made for me. It's made for you.
No, it's true. But there's one really touching couple on there who had been married for 35 years.
Oh, wow.
It makes me cry every time I watch it. And they're growing up in the 70s. They're called... who was Simon and married to a woman called Jackie, living the most Middle England kind of life. And then after 35 years of marriage, Simon revealed that he was Julie.
Wow.
And watching that from his wife's point of view, seeing his her husband go into surgery and the fact that she'll never see him again in that way.
Yeah.
But then at the end of it, they get remarried as two women. And,
wow.
And I think that is so brave, because it is what you're talking about. These are people who live in a place where... yeah, it's not London, and they're not exposed to things like that.
Yeah,
it's just people who love each other for the person inside. And actually, yes, she married a man, but she married a human inside there.
And I will say this as well, not like if she hadn't have stayed with him and remarried him, that wouldn't be transphobic. I don't want people listening thinking that, oh, like you have to stay with
them. No, it was definitely a choice on her part.
Yeah, because I'll tell you this. If my partner has told me they were trans, I'm sorry, I wouldn't be able to stay with you. And that doesn't make, it's like I said, it doesn't make you transphobic, because I think people listening might be like thinking that that's what is expected of people if your husband comes out as trans. You just got to accept them and support them. Obviously, you have every right to feel certain emotions, grief and sadness and anger even, but like it's about just accepting them.
And yeah, and I think... making that, you know, I really love, because it's filmed over 3 years. She did go through that experience and asked herself, and then chose to remarry the person as they were. And I just thought, it's really moving. That's funny that it's really made me think that is made for me, not for you.
Oh, yeah.
It's not interesting to you.
I do realise there's merit in what they're doing, but it's really a lot of the same old tropes. When people talk about me, I don't want people saying my old name. Like, it's not my old name. Like, it would really annoy me seeing things like that on TV.
And I then wonder whether they have had any trans people in consultant roles overlooking the production, because in other podcasts we're talking about that's the problem. It's not being made by people who are from those backgrounds. Then it's going to continue to make the mistakes, like dead naming.
It's always the exact same narrative. Like, you can watch any trans documentary and it's exactly the
same
narrative.
Yeah, and that kind of really making me aware, like that, putting them side by side, which is kind of the ultimate shot, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, that is for the viewers.
Yeah. I will say that there is merit to it, because like I said, I'm from a council estate in West London. And so like when these sorts of programs are on, I remember one time my neighbour, who's an old lady, I'd say she's in her maybe late 70s. And she knocked on my door and was like, oh, I just want to say I saw this TV show on the other night and it's about trans stuff. And it just really helped me understand. And, and I'm like, do you know what? As much as I like really don't enjoy these programs and they're really not made for me and I find them quite irritating.
Yeah.
There's some good in what they're doing, because they are helping people to understand like just the everyday Middle England or Middle America.
Just to normalise it.
Just normalising it, yeah. Humanising it.
Yeah, I find it interesting in myself that when I need to do something that I find kind of intimidating, definitely in work, I often will towards wearing really masculine clothing because it makes me feel powerful.
Yeah.
How do you navigate your own sense of style?
So it's quite interesting, because I totally get that. And I was saying to you before this, I was like, I watched something about like how it's really important to wear suits to things because people take you more seriously.
Yeah.
Like if you go for my Instagram, I have so many pastel coloured suits, like skirt suits, but they're really mini skirt with a blazer, basically.
Yeah.
But they're cute. But it's more that like if I was to wear what you're wearing now, I would be misgendered. They would say I'm wearing men's clothes. Like, I would look like a man. I'd look frumpy and broad and manly. And also like I never got to dress in a female way for so long. I had to wear that same boys' school uniform. I had to wear boys' clothes up to the age of like 22 to almost 23. So like I'm sick to death of wearing boyish clothes. I'm sorry, I have banging legs. Yeah, I'm going to wear my legs out.
I can see them all in front of me.
It's all down to conditioning. So it's down to the fact of conditioning that you feel that you might need to wear this because you're from that advertising background where you'd have to.
It's a boys' club.
It's a boys' club, and you've had to wear a suit to be like, look, you
take
me
seriously.
Yeah. Because if you've got your boobs or legs, they're just going to be looking at your boobs or legs. So I understand why you do. And even the fact that just like misogyny, like just being catcalled growing up and stuff, you've had a very different experience of womanhood to me where things like that make you very, like you've had to cover up to be taken seriously. Whereas with me, I'm conditioned in a way that's like, fuck you, everyone. Like, I'm going to wear what the fuck I like. So either it's neither's right or wrong.
What would you say to parents of kids who think that their children might be trans, or actually to young people who might even listen to this? What piece of advice would you give to help make the journey easier?
Oh, God, that's really hard.
It's really big, sorry.
Yeah, I would just say your safety is paramount. So it's almost like I said with me, like, I didn't just, like, realize I'm trans and start living the next day. Like, you need to think about your safety, about who you're coming out to, if you're going to start living straight away. Like, it's really hard. I don't really have all the answers, because it's shit. It's a really dire state of affairs. Like, because what, like, should you tell your parents? What if their parents are transphobic? What if they get chucked out? Like, most of my friends have been chucked out by their parents. So it's like, it's hard. So, like, I would say, like, confide in people.
Find,
like, if you
allies.
Can speak to your parents, like, if you can speak to a friend, if you can speak to a counselor at school or something, like, find someone that you can speak to about it. And it's really sad that I can't really give more advice, because it's just the way it is. It's shit. Reach out to me, I'm here for you if you need
me.
Yeah,
go follow. Yeah. Well, it's been really lovely speaking to you, Charlie, and as ever, I feel much more enlightened. But this is just me and you in a room. I always like to try and broaden it out and ask the good people of Instagram what they think. So first of all, I asked them, do you identify as the gender you were assigned at birth? Only 1% of people said that they didn't identify, which is easy to think, oh, that's only 1%. But actually, when you ladder back, that is 30 people for which it is a huge deal. Further to that, 23% said they believe that their children might identify as transgender, but 71% of them said they didn't feel qualified to support them, which is pretty worrying. The bit before the end, it's always polite to ask, is there anything you want to promote or anything coming up?
I guess my book, which is called To My Trans Sisters, and my nail brand called Nail It, which is Nail It Official on Instagram, maybe.
And also your Instagram as a whole, your handle is?
Yeah. Charlie_Crags.
And then the last but not least, remembering this podcast is called Honestly, who do you wish you could have an honest conversation with, and what would you say? Could be a celeb, someone who's passed, a younger version of yourself, a friend.
I would choose someone like Trump, or someone like Boris, or Piers Morgan even. Oh, someone who is really against people like me. I'd love to be put in a room with them and the door locked and not fight, I was gonna joke, but just to speak and be like, why do you hate me so much? And just look in their eyes and be like, can you not see, like, I am a person? Can we talk? Can we get over this? Like, why? Because they have so much power and they're making so many other people hate us and scared of us. I would love, Piers, if you hear this, babes, let's me and you get a room together. All right, Piers. No, let's actually get a room together and let's talk, because we need to work this out, because you're making people like mine's life very dangerous.
Yeah.
Because if you don't think that your words on Good Morning Britain have an effect on the way people like me are treated in the street by everyone else, on the bus, in toilets, in the school, in the workplace, then you're wrong.
Thank you.
Thank you, Clemmy.
I've been Clemmy Telford, and this lovely lady has been Charlie Crags, and this has been Honestly. Thank you for listening. Please rate, review, subscribe, and tell your mates all about it. So that's that. It's the end already. As ever, I'm so grateful to both Charlie for being here and to our sponsor, F&F Clothing, who not only do great things for affordable fashion, they've given me the opportunity to do what I love, have thorough chats with excellent people about sticky, tricky, and often not spoken about subjects. We've hit that part, the shameless plug, but at least I'm being honest, right? That's the name of the game. So please do share your thoughts and reviews, tell your mates all about it, and better still, why not press the big subscribe button? That way you'll get weekly doses of unadulterated honesty from me, Clemmy Telford. Thanks very much.